So it all depends upon his kavana. When he entered into the Beis HaKnesses, he went in for whatever reason, for a dvar mitzvah, and once he's in the Beis HaKnesses, he doesn't have to go out the long way around, he can use it as a shortcut. Rabbi Avo Omar, im hoya shvil meikaro mutter. If a path had been there before the shul was built, it is mutter to use the shul as a shortcut. So, in both of these cases, one is permitted to use the shul as a shortcut. If it would be because he's already in the shul, if it's because the shvil was there before the shul was built. It is preferable, however, l'chatchila, that one refrain from doing so. That we'll learn a little bit later on. Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rav Huna, third possibility of using the shul as a kapadria, is hanichnas beis haknesses lispalel muter lasas lo kapandria. So this is not the case where he went in for a dvar mitzvah, as we mentioned before, but rather he went in order to pray for the purpose of tefillah. He's now allowed to use it as a shortcut. Shenemar, and this is derived from a pasuk in Yechezkel Anovi, ubevo am haaretz lifnei Hashem b'moadim. But when the people of the land come before Hashem on the festivals, one who enters by way of the north gate to prostrate himself l'shtachavos shall leave by the way of the south gate. One who enters by the way of the south gate shall leave by the way of the north gate. He may not return by the way of the gate through which he came in, but must leave through the gate opposite him. And basically, just to summarize this pasuk is mechayev us, if we come to the Beis HaMikdash during the Moedim, we have to exit from a different gate, the opposite gate from the one we went into. And Reb Chaim Shulevitz has a whole shmooze about this, about how we have to have such a Yiras HaKovod and Kodesh for Kedusha, for sanctity, for the Beis HaMikdash. It shouldn't become hergel to us. Now, it is inevitable that for some, this will represent a shortcut, because they're going out from a different exit. Nevertheless, since they doing it for the purpose of showing their love to the Mikdash, then it's permissible. So too, someone who enters the synagogue for the purpose of praying, it's permissible to him to demonstrate his love for God's holy sanctuary by leaving through the door that is opposite the one through which he entered. And the Torah requires that one appear in the courtyard of the Holy Temple on the three Moadim, that's the mitzvah of Re'iyah. And in order to properly perform this mitzvah, he has to pass through all of the temple courtyard, the whole courtyard, and not simply turn his heel and leave. And for one deliberately making his way through all of the courtyard, he demonstrates his great love for the Beis HaMikdash. And that gives honor and glory to Hashem. He demonstrates his love for the sanctuary. Now, according to the commentators, why is it that the Gemara must cite this third ruling regarding one who enters the Mikdash and the Beis HaKnesses for tefillah? After all, we've already mentioned if he enters in for the sake of a mitzvah, tefillah is no less of a mitzvah than any other mitzvah. So why did the Gemara have to set this law up separately with a new Yalfusa, with a new drasha? And if you look at the Kesef Mishnah, the Ram Hilchos Tefillah Perek Yud Aleph, he makes a chiluk between two laws, these two laws, by citing the ruling that states that while it's permissible for one to enter a synagogue for a mitzvah purpose, to use it as a shortcut, it would be preferable, if all things were equal in the ideal world, to refrain from doing so. However, this last ruling of someone who comes in to the synagogue for the purpose of prayer, it's not just that he's permitted to leave from the other side, but this is what is mandated. He should exit after worship and go through the other the other exit, like they did at the time of the Moedim in the Beis HaMikdash. So there's nothing fallback here, there's nothing amiss or b'dievet here. So when Reb Lozman ben Shemua stated that in all his days he never used a synagogue as a shortcut, he probably meant he never used it for any other purpose other than to pray. Now, our text reads, if one enters a synagogue to pray, he's permitted to use it as a shortcut. There's a different girsa which we find in Yalkut Shimoni. Instead of the word mutter, it says mitzvah. And according to that reading, Rabbi Chelba holds that one who enters into synagogue for prayer is required to show his love for the sanctuary by passing through all of the Beis HaKnesses. So one who enters into Beis HaKnesses through one door should leave through the opposite door. And you can check this all out in the Mishnah Brura in Or HaChaim Simon Kuf Nun Aleph. The Mishnah continues and says, Rekika Mikal V'chomer, then how much more so spitting on the Harabayis is certainly prohibited. Omar Rav Bibi, Omar Rav Yoshua Ben Levi, call a rokeik by Harabayis Bismanazeh, anyone who spits on the Harabayis even nowadays, Kilu rokeik bebas eno, is as if he spits in the pupil of God's eye, Chas v'shom shenemar, v'hoyu enai v'libisham kol ayomim, a pasuk in Malachim. No, this is a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, I believe. We'll look it up. No, it's both in Divrei Hayomim and in Malachim. My eyes and my heart will be there all of the days. Omar Rava Rekika v'beis HaKnesses Sharia Midi Dehavi Aminol. Spitting in a synagogue is permitted and has the same law as a shoe. Ma Aminol v'beis Baharabayis Osir. But v'beis HaKnesses Mutter Afrikika Baharabayis Hudi Osir v'beis HaKnesses Shari. But in a synagogue, it's permissible. Now, this has to do with the concept. Rav Soloveitchik has a lot of Torah on this in the Shirim Lezecha B'mori. And here's the conscience between the synagogue and a Beis HaMedrash. A synagogue is considered, in a certain sense, like Beiso. And there's certain heterim that we allow in a synagogue just because we gravitate towards a synagogue. Amalei Rav Papa L'Rav, V'yamalei Ravina L'Rav, V'yamalei Rav Adabar Masna L'Rav, Adiolf Mi Minol, Nelef Mi Kapandria. Instead of deriving the permissibility of spitting in a synagogue from the permissibility of wearing a shoe in a synagogue, let's go in a different direction. Why don't we derive the impermissibility of spitting in a synagogue from the impermissibility of taking a shortcut through a synagogue? Something that we've already established in the Mishnah in Masechta Megillah. And if you can't use the synagogue as a shortcut, then you cannot spit in the synagogue. Amalei Sarava said to him, to Rav Papa, or to Ravina, or Abba Bar Masna, Tana Yolef Mi Minol V'yat Amrit Mi Kapandria. The Tana derives the law of spinning from the law of wearing a shoe. And you say that we should derive from the law of taking a shortcut? Maihi. So the Gemara asks, where is this Tanaic teaching that Rav is alluding to that derives the law of spitting from the law of wearing shoes? And then even if we find such a source, we have to ask this question on the Mishnah itself. Tisanya lo yikones adam laharabayis lo bimaklo shebiyodo velo bimin olo sheberaglo velo bimos hatsrum lo bisdino ubefundoso mufshelis liachorov. So you're not letting it enter into the Harabayis. Not with the staff that's in your hand, not with the shoe that's on your foot, not with your money bag that's tied to a kerchief, nor with a money belt that's hung on outside of his clothing. You know, they used to carry money in sort of different kinds of ways, sometimes concealed, sometimes unconcealed. And if it's inconcealed, and he appears to be coming, it looks like he's coming to the Harabayis to get into some business transaction. Again, if it's concealed, that's a different story. V'lo yasena kapadria, and he's not allowed to use the Harabayis as a shortcut. Urikika mikal v'chomer mi minol. And spitting is prohibited with a kal v'chomer from wearing a shoe. Uma minol, regarding wearing a shoe, she'ein bo derech bizoyin, there's nothing disrespectful in the conduct of wearing a shoe. Amar Torah al shal na'alcha me'araglecha, the Torah says you're going on a holy place, you have to remove your shoes. Is rekika. Now it's interesting, that pasuk which the Gemara is quoting is in the parsha of the Sneh at the beginning of Shmos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh that he has to take off his shoes. But any holy ground, you need to take off his rekika. She derech bizoyin lo kol shkein. Certainly, rekika, which is disrespectful, is certainly prohibited on the Har HaBayis. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Eino Tzarech. I don't need the Kal Vachomer. The prohibition of Rekika on our bias can be derived from Harehu Omer with regard to Mordechai, who is not permitted to approach Achishverosh for the palace. And it says, Ki Ein Lovel Shara Melech Belevush Sak, because Mordechai was wearing a Levush Sak, he was wearing his sackcloth. Is Alo Dvarim Kal Vachomer. Uma Sak. In the case of wearing a sackcloth, she'enomos, which is not a repulsive garment, lifnei bos of a dam, and you're not allowed to wear it in front of flesh and blood, meaning in front of Achashverosh, is kach, is it not so? That rekiko, which means spitting on the harabayas, shehima usa, which is repulsive, lifnei melech malchei amlochim, and he wants to do this in front of the king of kings, lo kolshkin, certainly this is a dishonorable behavior. You're insulting the makom amikdash. So certainly one is prohibited to spit on the temple mat. But we see that the Tanakhama, this brisa, derives the law of spitting from the law of wearing shoes. So Rava says that let's compare these two laws. The rule is just that one is permitted to wear shoes in a synagogue, so therefore ipso facto one is permitted to spit there, because the Tana of this brisa clearly equates the two. And let's equate the two also where it's permitted. And if it's permitted to wear shoes in a synagogue, nobody said it's also to wear shoes in a synagogue, then certainly one should be, well, logically, by process of analogy, one should be permitted to spit there. Amalei, so those who argued against Rava, whoever it was, they said, Ana hachika imna. Here's what I meant to say, Nema hachalachumra vahachalachumra. Meaning, it's true that with regard to prohibiting spitting on the harabais, we compare its law to the law of wearing shoes, but nevertheless, we should come to the conclusion that just as here on the harabais we treat spitting with stringency, so too here, in the case of Beis HaKnesses, we should learn that chumra, and we should treat it with stringencies. And here we turn to Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. The Ema Harabayis the Osir B'minol. In the case of the Harabayis where wearing of the shoe is prohibited, is Lelfa Miminol. Let us derive the law of spitting from the law of wearing a shoe. In the case of Harabayis, we can certainly say that it's, since it's Osir B'minol, certainly it's Osir Berakika. And therefore, we can derive the Iser Lekika from the Iser of Minol. Aval Beis Knesses, the Shari B'Minol. For in the case of a shul where you're allowed to wear the shoe, is Adi Olaf Miminol Ula Hatir. Maybe since we shouldn't derive from Minol to be Matir and allow us to spit in a synagogue, Nelef Mikapandria Velesar Leiser. Let's derive from the law of taking a shortcut, which is prohibited in a shul, and it's derived from that the conclusion that spitting in a synagogue is osur. And the logic behind this is because spitting, as we said before, is a repulsive act. We cannot permit it in the synagogue from the fact that you're allowed to wear shoes in the synagogue. The fact that spitting is disgusting is enough for a reason to prohibit it even in a synagogue. And the brisa that derives the impermissibility of spitting on the Temple Mount from the fact that it's impermissible to wear a shoe on the Temple Mount, that's another matter. If wearing a shoe, which is not a disgusting act, is prohibited on the Har HaBayis, then spitting, which is a disgusting act, is certainly prohibited on the Har HaBayis. So Rava's dispute now distinguishes between the brises equating of spitting and wearing a shoe, which is logically understandable, which as far as Rava's equation is not understandable. And therefore we should prohibit spitting in the synagogue. So Rava now presents his position differently. He says, Ela Omar Rava ki beso, that the reason why I can derive the law of spitting from the law of wearing shoes, and we can permit both, is because logically the standard of behavior required in a shul is equivalent to the standard of behavior required in one's home. Ma beso, just like in one's home. A kapandria kapit inish, arakiku min a low kapit inish. So part of this I understand, part of this I don't necessarily understand, but it means that a person would not be object to someone who wears shoes in the house or even spits in the house, but to use the house as a shortcut, that's something that people would mind. Again, I'm not exactly sure why, but af balak beis hakneses, let's treat our beis hakneses as our bias. We have to feel at home in the beis hakneses. Is kapandria hu diasur rekiko min al shari? We should prohibit kapandria like we would in our own home, and we would permit rekiko and minol. So basically, the standards of respect in the Beis HaKnesses mirror image the standard of behavior in one's house. Now again, that's all as far as the Beis HaKnesses, which is our personal bias or the bias of the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. But when we get to the Har HaBayis, that has a greater Kedusha, an inherent Kedusha, and a very much higher standard of behavior that we have to demand. So therefore, one is prohibited to spit on the Har HaBayis or to enter it while wearing shoes. Now, halach lemaisa, we rule in accordance with Rava, and therefore one is permitted to spit in a synagogue. The Mishnah Bura in Kuf Nun Aleph, and also in his Shaar Tzion there, really wants to qualify this rule. But in any event, one should not simply leave the saliva lying there, but he should rub it with his foot. There's a minhag in Chabad that when you say Olenu, Hey Mishtachmim Level Rik, we spit. Okay, maybe that's something a little different. But in any event, the best idea would be if the spit would land in something that would absorb it in straw or something, and then you know it's not obvious, it's not there. Anyway, here's where we're gonna end the shiur. So we're up to Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're up to about seven lines down from the top. Kol Chosmei Brachos Shebemigdash, and we're gonna talk about the Bais Rishon and the Bais Sheni. And I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shabbos.